Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision Radio Show. I have with me Kevin Finnegan. He's visiting my office, so we don't have any long distance or anything else like that. He's right here webcam with me.
There will be no technical difficulties. Right here.
So we're a bit nervous about being on camera and doing this interview, but it's something that it's kind of like a little experiment I wanted to try. Actually, it's because when I pre-record, I have to use some type of a device from one phone to the next phone, and he lives in this town, so we wanted to do it right here.
Concrete.
So the reason I have him here and the reason that he left New York City, you're from where?
I'm from Commack, Long Island, but about, like, just under an hour away from New York City.
Well, first off, Kevin, thank you. We're so informal.
Thank you, Lonnie, so much for bringing me out to Eugene. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thrilled.
Good. Well, I'm glad that you're thrilled. It's a good place to be. A million times better than New York City. And this is why, like, when I met Kevin, I met Kevin through the Post-Ignorance Project. We followed Kevin Blanche for a long time. He still follows Kevin Blanche all the time, and which is good, I guess, for Kevin.
Following is a little bit of a strong word, but
well,
sure.
On his videos, you watch all of his videos. I mean, you watch all of his posts. I don't. I actually.
I mean, he makes a lot of them, but I try and stay up to date with the information.
Yeah. So, but anyways, I met him through New York. When I realized he was in New York City, and I heard about Indian Point. He and I started talking, and over the course of the last year, I sort of made a blanket statement to him to, leave New York, I have a spare room, please come, leave New York. How old are you, Kevin?
I just turned 24 in May.
Right.
So I was 23.
Right. And how long have you known about the state of New York City's radiological exposure?
How long have I known it, you know? Was 16 this year, so I only had to say about 3 years at the most.
Okay, so so you became aware of it after
Fukushima.
Oh, okay. Okay. So when Fukushima happened, did you know about it?
No.
Like, what did you think?
You know, it was really brushed under the rug. It was just like an event that happened, and it was all in the past.
Wow.
You know.
And so you thought, you were like me, you believed the president when he said, hey, man, everything's working great, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I was too busy dancing and going to concerts.
So what made you realize it was really serious?
Oh, yeah, I started reading the Freedom of Information Act, all the released documents that were circulating the internet about the Fukushima, pretty much the disaster that was going on. And all the information that was pretty much being put under the table by all these agencies. There was a multiple agency cover-up, and it was becoming very apparent through the documents that I was reading that.
Where did you find the documents? Because that's not how I found out about it. Where did you find them?
The documents.
What made
very,
you hear about them?
Yeah, I was on YouTube, and just some people's videos were screenshotting just documents of Freedom of Information Act regarding to Fukushima about how we had entered China Syndrome, and they really had no technological solutions for this. And that's really what just... really lit my fire for this was that there was no scientific answers for what was going on, and that this is all being swept under the rug, like, oh, nothing to see here. But honestly, actually, what I've really come to understand in the past few hours, actually, is that Fukushima Daiichi will actually lead to the death of at least 90% of living things on Earth. Like, the whole food chain is going to be collapsed because of this event. The food chain will be collapsed.
Unless they figure out a way to reverse it. Yeah. Now, there is phytoremediation. There is things. I think there's technology they know how to implement. But in order to do that, then they have to expose the fact of how bad it is.
Yeah, but what's really happened is that this disaster has become so out of control, it's actually penetrated every layer of, like, the
biosphere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. There's no actually containing the spread of this.
I mean,
radiation.
You and I were out on the coast mm-hmm. this weekend.
I went in it, so it's over for me. I've been exposed. It's over.
Well, we've all been exposed, and it's not that it's all over. It's, I mean, like, really seriously, there's things that we can do to improve our health. I mean, because we're not going to, like, die tomorrow, Kevin. That's the issue. It's like, we don't just die.
But what my concern is that we've ingested man-made radioactive isotopes that were not present in nature unless some man started fooling around with uranium rods, you know. So that's my complaint, is that I'm now being poisoned by man-made radiation.
Well, it's not just the radiation. We're being poisoned by truckloads of unknown chemicals. That's the other thing. You know, seriously, like, between the combination, it's like bye-bye life.
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean? It's just outrageous.
Oh, and then
but the reason I asked you on the radio show was because you lived in New York.
Yes.
And I was so alarmed by the fact that you are young, mm-hmm. super young, living in high levels of... When I heard that, it was like March when the article came out, I think it was, it said, isn't it ironic that it's always in March? March, the tritium in New York at Indian Point was 65,000%, which now they've said it's multiple times thousands of percents higher now because mm-hmm. they can't stop it. So it's getting exponentially bigger. Just like Fukushima, they don't even report the levels of radiation there anymore. They probably can't even say the fucking numbers. Excuse my language.
No, it's all a state secret act. We'll never know.
So I talked Kevin into coming out here. But it has gotten worse.
It's gotten actually beyond worse is an understatement. Corrupt, loot, worse. The situation scientifically has gotten worse. And now.
Okay, so let's start. For many of our listeners may not be aware of the situation in New York. I wasn't. This is what made me say, you have to come on. He is definitely a citizen journalist and a citizen kind of scientist doing his own research. Young man living in New York City, not like a qualified expert
yes.
from the National Resource Defense Fund, who is from New York, who takes $11 million in unknown contributions, mm-hmm. probably from Exelon. That's my guess. So, but anyways, get back to the interview. With Kevin, he knows a lot about it. And he started, we were out at the coast, actually. And he said something about something else that I didn't realize was related. So, give us a general background about...
Yeah, let's talk about the New York situation in
particular. Indian Point.
Yeah, I'm going to lay it out. So, there's Indian Point, which is in the lower Hudson Valley. It's not extremely north, but this one reactor had transformer explosions, control rods falling into the core. There's actually, like, what is it, over 200 volts missing from the reactor core? That was public news, yeah.
200 volts missing from the reactor core.
At least, yeah, that's
that they have not found.
Mm-hmm. So we have all these...
How many bolts go into the reactor core?
Only about 800, so a quarter of the bolts
are missing. A quarter of the bolts are missing?
Yeah, a quarter of the bolts are missing. They've been damaged due to radiation. So here's the situation at this one plant. This one plant is actually... There's two reactors operating there with no license, so...
How many reactors are at Indian Point?
I think there's a few of them that are offline. There's three, but two of them are currently online.
Okay.
And so, yeah, none of them have licenses, so they're just looting. Just running and looting.
Well, they have extended licenses. I've been
Until
following
the hearing,
it. The NRC says, okay, your license is expired, but you're allowed to continue to run until we have the hearing, and then we'll make a decision and rubber stamp your license.
Mm-hmm. So that whole thing's been exploding for a few years, and then... upstate right now, the Exelon, what happened was they announced a reactor upstate was closing down due to financial losses. It's called the Fitzpatrick reactor. And so they announced we're not closing it down in 2017. We're not going to refuel it.
Yeah, that was a big victory mm-hmm. last year.
Yes,
remember?
We had a huge victory. And then this year, now we have Entergy selling that reactor for $110 million to Exelon. So they're going to sell for $110 million. And now... through the subsidy, the taxpayer subsidy, they're going to get $7.2 billion off the top just to run that one reactor. And then in 2 or 3 years, when they go to relicense Indian Point, they're going to get another $10 billion off the top.
Okay, so let's slow that down. Yeah. So they sold the reactor at Fitzpatrick to Exelon.
For $110 million.
And so why is Exelon getting how many billions?
7.6 out of the taxpayer.
Why? How did that come to pass? Who said we should do this? Here's when did happened. That just happen?
In New York State, there is a law, the Renewable Energy Act, where it was mandated by New York State that by a certain year, we needed to have this amount of electricity generated by renewable energy, like non-carbon emitting all this stuff. And Energy and Exelon have now backdoored and paid their way into the legislature saying that nuclear is renewable and carbon-free. And they just looted the Senate and the entire tax base of New York.
So it just happened.
It was designed to literally eliminate and move the energy away from Indian Point. That was what the law was for, and they backdoored it.
Say that again. How did they backdoor this?
They got senators to go out and campaign for it. I saw Senator Trish and all these people upstate saying it was creating jobs.
Like, what's his name? Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer.
Chuck Schumer was online saying, if you can tell me how to replace the energy at Indian Point, I'm all for it. And we actually have told them how to replace it at Indian Point, and they just continue to ignore it. Chuck Schumer's pretty evil in my book.
Yeah, I've always not been a fan.
But he's a very powerful guy in New York. Like, seriously, he is one of the reasons why they are able to get going. Okay, so then they got the law. They got, actually, in the... What's it called? The Renewable Energy?
Yeah, the Renewable Energy Act.
They actually changed, and this is a New York State law, the Renewable Energy Act. It was specifically designed to exclude nuclear from green energy, but after they said that this reactor couldn't run anymore and they sold it to Exelon for dirt cheap, Exelon paid all these senators money, essentially lobbied with them. So now they have nuclear as considered clean, green, and mean.
Creating jobs.
Jobs. The whole 800 jobs that are going to be available is worth the $40 million. You know what it is, really, the reality is. They know it's already so bad, like why the hell not go for the gold?
The bottom line is that there'll be more jobs created figuring out what to do with this terrible, terrible thing, nuclear energy. There'll be more jobs created trying to figure out what we need to do with all this waste and the reactors. Decommissioning will create more jobs. And
could you imagine how many jobs we could create if we actually really turned the thing around and they started admitting how much pollution there is? And not just, I mean, this is where I'm dumbfounded in the last month and a half, like since my conversation with that health physicist. It's not just nuclear. It's like John Kaufman said it in that book, Poison Power. It's not just nuclear. It's all the technologies, all of them, everything. And when you see how much it actually really interacts and creates extra worse, and now we're fucking living it, and people just go, oh, yeah, my kid has cancer. What? Oh, my kid has diabetes. Oh, they have a learning disability. Oh, they were born with a cleft palate. Oh, they were born with a stent, you know. It's like people just accept mutations.
Death early and cancer.
Like, it's beyond comprehension.
People have really given up. They just say, hey, we're going to die. Let's just do whatever the hell. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I eat.
You know what? That's actually part of the conversation.
I hear it all the time. I'm going to die. Where's
my Okay, so let's have that conversation. I want to get this information out about New York. Let me pull this back to New York because I do want to... Let's talk about that on a Friday where we can really talk about people's ineptness and their decision to just, ignore it.
We have the facts. Let's present them.
At least. At the very bare least.
We have the facts. Let's present them.
So, okay. So then this story goes on. How is this interrelated to Indian Point?
Okay, because Energy is the company that owns Indian Point, but they're selling their upstate reactor that's not making any money. They're selling it to Exelon and just looting the taxpayer for $7.2 billion. They made 110 plus 7.2, and then in 3 years when they go to relicense Indian Point, they're going to get another $10 billion just to off the subsidies to run those reactors.
Wow.
Yeah.
How much do the CEOs of those corporations make, do you know?
I don't know.
Probably billions.
I don't know, but...
So outrageous. It's so outrageous. So what is the status now in New York, and what's the radiation level? What's the leaking level? Tell us about what's really going on in New York City. So, I mean, do your parents know about this?
They are turning a blind eye, but, you know, we do our best. I tell them every day, you know, I live with them. They live with me, so they used to.
Yeah.
So they got an earful of it when they could. But, so the situation right now, currently, is that the reactor that they sold to Exelon is leaking. They just came out. Where they just came out and said they're literally storing.
You can look if you want to. Just they're, look
I'm just trying to make sure I get this quoted specifically. I don't want to misquote them, but to say the least, they are literally. They have an ongoing leak in their Fitzpatrick reactor of high level radiation that's only being deemed safe because they're storing in a basement that's deemed suitable for high level radiation. So it's just in a building. It's just in a building basement that's suitable for high levels of radiation.
It's in a building basement, meaning it's leaked into the basement, and they're saying it's perfectly fine.
Just seal it off.
That's as good a place as any. Let's just leave it there. Mm-hmm. It's not. Is it a lined building? Do you know if it's a lined building?
I really want to get this on.
Okay. Take a look for this, because he's looking for some documents. He's pulled together a bunch of documents on the research of this whole Indian Point and Fitzpatrick thing. I have to say that this goes to show you how close the dirty money is in nuclear. Like, and the disregard for these people to tell us that it's cheap. Billions of dollars, and then in a few years, billions more. For how many jobs, if you break down the money for how many jobs it creates, it's so outrageous.
All right, so the quote that I did want to get out is that the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission said the accumulation of spilled radioactive waste in the basement of a building at Fitzpatrick is of very low safety significance because it occurred in a locked, highly shielded area that is already highly radioactive. That's a
say that
quote.
Again. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Okay, let's do it again. The U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission said the accumulation of spilled radioactive waste in the basement of a building at Fitzpatrick is of very low safety significance because it occurred in a locked, highly shielded area that is already highly radioactive.
Wow.
So, the bottom line, they say, they continue, it gets better. The bottom line is we have been aware of this issue for some time, but it poses no immediate risk to any residents or the environment.
Immediate.
But, you know, down the line.
If they have a flood or an earthquake.
Someone goes in that building one time. If someone goes in that building, just to say
hello.
Goes
near it.
Merry Christmas. Hello. Goodbye.
The sheer lack of regard for life by these nuclear scientists is beyond
me. Let's just get real.
You know, they're thinking, I mean, they really did. Alvin, what was his name? Alvin Weinberg, Dr. Alvin Weinberg, he was that pro-nuke scientist in the 50s. He really did deem themselves the nuclear priesthood. And they actually call themselves nukies. They believe that they have the answers, that we just don't understand it. And which is why I'm actually dumbfounded, Kevin. I don't know if you are, because I'm stunned because you're so young. The whole Olympics thing.
Oh, my God. I went down to the UN and protested that because we knew that they were going to hold surfing in Fukushima for the past 8 years, 6 years now.
Yeah.
And we've been protesting that the UN did not do this. I mean, are you really going to let your Olympic athletes even go to Japan? Let's not even disregard going swimming in the ocean over
there.
Well,
you know what they're disregarding is we're going to have mystery heart attacks of the athletes. It's going to be a mystery. These, especially the runners, they're going to go there early to prepare for the altitude. You know, people go there to prepare for the altitude. They'll be there a few months ahead of time. Those are the ones that are going to have heart attacks.
Dude.
And it's going to be a mystery because they're pushing their hearts super hard. You know what I mean? It's... I mean, we've got 4 more years of this. Imagine Fukushima in 4 more years. I mean, this is the incomprehensible.
How can you go swimming in that water in 4 years from now? Think about that.
So what are people doing in New York about this? I mean, what are people... Is there anybody... Are there groups in New York that you know about that have been protesting? I've seen it online. The Riverkeepers,
I was going to say the Riverkeeper is like the most like mainstream one. But I've seen a few local ones actually now suing them. They're suing Fitzpatrick and not Fitzpatrick but Energy for doing this corrupt business. I mean, you can't announce that you're gonna go decommission a plant and then sell it for 110 and then loot it for 7.6 billion.
Well, the other thing is too is Indian Point is leaking. What's the percentage of radiation at Indian Point?
You said it was like 65,000%.
That was in March.
Yes.
I mean, if we were to look it up now, it's just beyond comprehension. It's
Well, they've been covering it up. The leak's been going on for years, and they've only just now have reported because of all the work we're doing. You know?
So your parents live in New York, and your relatives, everybody that you know lives in New York.
Yes, everyone I know.
And, like, all your whole extended family, I mean.
Yes, unfortunately, I actually know two people.
And none of them actually believe that the radiation is any real threat. Don't worry about it. We're drinking tritium-tainted water, showering in tritium-tainted water. It doesn't matter. It's perfectly okay. Very high levels. What's the, do you know, how many people do you know that have had cancer or...
Personally?
Yeah.
Personally, oh, have had it or died from it.
Have had it.
Have had it.
Because now people, a lot of people don't, they delay the death. What happens is you die from it, but they can stop it and then it'll come back and then they'll stop it and it'll come back.
We're going to talk over 10 people probably, easy.
Wow.
Easy.
And nobody thinks that's a cancer cluster. Nobody's like plot charting where you were born, like... You know, where were these, like they did in St. Louis, that was really, this is how in St. Louis they discovered what was going on. Because they realized all these people had gotten their college educations and sort of dispersed around the country. But when they connected on Facebook, they began to realize, like, wow, this is weird. We all have the weird same rare cancers. Like, it shouldn't be, it's an occurrence that shouldn't happen if it's rare, that all these friends have the same type of thing. So they plot charted where they lived and what their diseases were. So they created charts, and actually those charts are being studied. It's generated studies. It's forced the government to study. It's forcing the, although, the, you know, as we know, the government can study things and exclude vital information. You know what I mean? Like, up in Hanford, they studied all the micro. There was 32 babies born in 2013 with microencephaly. In fact, there's a lot of microencephaly babies regularly being born up there now because of the water is leaking into the ground. It's very severely plutonium contaminated.
I think you should explain that scene for people who don't understand the medical terms.
What?
If people may be...
Microencephaly.
Maybe they don't understand.
I don't think I said that word right, microencephaly. Or...
It's very early for us, so...
Yeah, well, what it is a baby is born with their brain, like, oh, how do I get this?
Out of
half
their head.
Off. Well, their brain just doesn't develop. So their skull, they don't have, like, this big bulbous brain on the back of their head. They only have, like, the first part of their brain born.
Brutal.
And they live for a little while, depending on the development of the brain. Some can live, some, most die. It's very sad, but it is a signature of radiation that John Goffman, Arthur Tamplin, and Linus Pauling, Dr. Linus Pauling in the 50s, they specifically showed this was a specific, really weird disease that has never shown up except after the introduction of nuclear radiation.
They actually did something similar to that on Long Island after the Brookhaven lab started leaching into the aquifer and killing people.
And having these, this
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the cancer clusters, people started having to map it out their streets and all the people croaking.
Well, so what has happened is, so when Dr. John Goffman, Linus Pauling, and Arthur Tamplin did all that work, they were basically ostracized by the nuclear industry. And from that point forward, mum's the word, nobody talks about nuclear. There is nobody, Chris Busby gets ridiculed within the scientific community. Helen Caldicott has gotten ridiculed within the scientific community. Any doctor, any scientist who comes out against it, man, the attack machine is on them. It's a complete denial. And I think part of the reason, when I look back, like, why didn't our government just be honest about this? We'd already discovered, like, we don't need a million fucking bombs. What I think, my opinion, this is my strict opinion, is the reason they went on the complete zero tolerance of, you know, deny, the 90% rule, deny radiation causes harm, underreport the negative effects of radiation by 90%, is because they knew they had already contaminated so much that if they accepted the responsibility, it would break the bank of the United States.
Oh, it already did.
And all of these, oh, it has. I mean, we're just, as we'll see very shortly, folks, it's coming.
I was going to say, that was the one thing that we're going to notice is that the, you know, all these animals are starving, but who's going to be next is us.
Right.
Well, we're going to be next on that starving list. No joke.
Right. Well, not only that, the sick list. This
yes.
is the thing we're
not seeing.
We're already
on the sick list. That's being hit by the media. We already know we're all sick. I mean, we already know that.
Well, that's what the whole pharmaceutical industry, the nanotech, the biotech, that's what the justification for that is. That's what what's Mr. Evil's name? The guy up in Seattle. What's his name?
Dr.
Bill
Evil.
Gates?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates,
Dr.
yeah.
Evil.
Yeah, I mean, his whole thing is like, okay, we're in this pickle, so let's biotech and nanotech humanity so we can at least save some people. And just let the little people who don't matter, they're going to go anyways because they can't afford it.
Yeah, they can be test subjects rather than vaccines.
Right. Assets on the balance sheet. Let's jack up as much money as we possibly can. That's why they're getting the billions of dollars at Fitzpatrick. We're going to see the same scenario across every single nuclear power plant.
Yeah, there's literally like a Fukushima-like reaction going on there. They've been holding radioactive waste in a basement there. What is going on up there?
Well, imagine if they had a tsunami or if they had some kind of a flood.
What if they lost power up there? What if the power goes out and the generator fails?
Right.
Then what?
Right.
That's not even the reactor cores. You now have spent fuel up there. It's gone.
It's actually really grave. This is the thing. And so, like, your relatives are just completely blanked out on it.
They are just boom, boom, boom. Let's go play the lottery.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it. Let's just pretend.
The Mega Millions. I'm going to be rich.
Wow.
Let's go on another vacation.
I can't understand why people are not demanding. Like, I do call. This is the point. Our elected officials, they don't give a crap about what we say. I saw this Harvard study that said that something like, they did a study, who was it? Princeton did a study that said our phone calls and our push on Congress, all of our effects, 0% difference.
It's because they're all paid by some businessman.
Yes, it is.
That's terrible.
It is terrible.
Themselves.
So let me get back to you. So since you've been out here in Oregon, mm-hmm. and has any of your relatives or any of your friends kind of like thought that it was you're being too radical to be leaving because of the radiation, or did they think you just came west for the whole cannabis friendly world?
You know what? I don't know what they're thinking, but you know, I tried when I was there. I told them every day about these horrific things in the nuclear industry, and I constantly contacted my representatives, but none of them. They all failed me, really. Steve Israel, I'll give a shout out to you for failing me, you disrespectful man.
Well, you thought Steve Israel would listen to you?
You know what? Steve Israel got a few of my phone calls, and none of his workers or his office returned me or my messages. He'd be ashamed of himself.
Did you ever email him?
Yeah.
If you email him, they send you a form letter.
Mm-hmm, they did. I have one from Ron Wyden now. That's the next person we should be.
Did it actually respond to what you said?
No.
He doesn't respond. They have these form letters, and the people in their office try to figure out. This is the most annoying part about our lack of representation. You call up Ron Wyden, you say, yes, I did. Well, you have to send him an email. So you send him this big, long email that talks about Fukushima and the radiation and San Onofre and blah, 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 blah. And you get back a form letter that says, I'm doing all I can to promote green energy.
Yeah, and he's like, choose what one you care about the most. What has the most impact on you?
Right. Click, click, click.
Where's that one about the collapse on the Oregon coast?
Well, this is the thing. It's like, where we're at we've seen 2016 for me was the year we pulled the curtains back on Oz. Like, we have seen now that all of our so-called democracy and our so-called rights, those are all just like illusions.
We also only saw two starfish in a tide pool in the middle of August.
And no birds. Like, there was millions of birds when I was there before, three or 4 years ago. Yeah. Like, that whole area
covered.
Where we were standard,
covered.
There was, like, just birds, and that meant that there was creatures there was sand crabs everywhere. In fact, Tim Martin, who I'm going to post up his videos, he used to take his grandkids out there crabbing. That same little area, but
not anymore.
Not only that, the last time he went with his wife, and they kind of spat over it because she thought he was being hysterical. He didn't want the kids to eat any of the crabs or anything. But she was so disturbed because there was very few crabs, and it made her think, like, it was really scared. So she actually said, hey, kids, we're just going to put them back. You can dig for crabs, but you're going to put them back. She wouldn't let them eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually shocked her.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. People aren't looking. It's our normalcy bias.
Or they just have no idea. Like, we're not too educated. So if someone uneducated went out to that thing and they saw all those things, the anemones and the clams or whatever, oysters, they'd be like, oh, it's still alive. But, I mean, There's no biodiversity. It's only a very, very limited number of species. No.
And there's actually, I have a picture. I'll post it. You know what I'll do is I'll upload it and make it like the cover to this thing. It's from what Tim, he sent me a photograph that says, do not eat the shellfish due to toxins from Suyuslaw County, which is the river right above where we were in Hecata Beach, all the way down to the California coastline due to toxicity.
What kind of toxicity?
They don't say. They just say toxicity. But those clams, that's why all along when we were taking the pictures, there was lots of clams because nobody eats them.
We should have taken one from analysis. And just send one to a laboratory.
What laboratory?
Who are we going to send it to?
Because that's
the laboratories I send it to refuse me. I'll say it.
Well, you know what radcast.org has? She's been, in fact, I think she just this week gave an interview and said, hey, I'm just so done trying to figure this out and taking tests on food. Because we could test it. There's a machine that radcast.org wants to buy that has identified and made a bid on and everything. Mm-hmm. It's $6,000 to test food.
$6,000 to test, not to own the machine.
No, to own the machine, to get a machine to test your food.
Okay, so the machine is $6,000.
Yes. But you can, like, they can test dirt, but you can't test food. You so we want to test the food. Right. The food, the tester for the food, for the dirt is pretty cheap. That's what I understand. So they have one. And it's this weird process. Mark Casabeer does that. And so you can send him dirt and he'll test the radiation levels. It's not 100%. Like, it's not a really great, it's a homemade Jimmy rig thing, so it's not as accurate. But it works, and you can test it, and you can see it. I mean, it's kind of awesome the way they've done it. They sort of created it, because it's all the elements that you need to do to test radiation. So they just put all this stuff together. It's their little homemade science lab, and it works. And so when they get a positive testing, she knows a professional who will verify their results.
Yeah, verify.
So that's why when they post them, it's been scientifically verified. They get their first draft, and then they send it off. So then she had this idea, well, why don't we just get a food tester? Because that's what matters. We want to know what's in our food. What's the most radiated food that we are eating?
What was it?
We don't know. It's a $6,000 machine. And nobody's given us $6,000. So if anybody watching this has I think it's like 6,300
Wig Packs.
It might have gone up in the last year a little
bit. $7,000 was shipping to your house.
Yeah, I mean, they might have raised the price, but I mean, you know, that's why she doesn't have it. We started a GoFundMe page and it went zero. We got a total of $230 and I gave $100. So that didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's why we haven't tested. Because really, and the government has these machines, but they are not testing. Or I guarantee you, maybe they are testing, and they're just not telling us. You know what I mean?
Where is the information?
Huh?
Where is the information? Why aren't they testing? Why?
What the fuck? Do you think they want to tell us? I mean, honestly, do you think they would really want to tell us, Kevin?
They don't want to tell us, I know that. But, you know, it would just, I just want to know the levels. I want to know what I'm taking in.
Well, let's find somebody with $7,000 to give us to buy that machine, and then we can start test. Our idea when me and Mimi Gurman put this together was we could, like, because I crowdfunded for Kevin, right? But people like it. They'll contribute money for someone to go travel and document and talk.
Not for the year.
But for these big machines, that's kind of a big commitment because then you have to have, you don't know who's going to be running it, right? So you're buying this group of people that, you don't know if they even know how to run this machine. A $7,000 machine is a pretty big, expensive piece of equipment. Now, we trust the people that we're working with. I mean, Mimi trusts the people she's working with. She knows a bunch of people. But the people contributing the $7,000, I think that's why we couldn't fundraise the money. It's a different thing, like when you're fundraising for Kevin, and people are saying, and you're telling people, look, I'm putting out all this money to have Kevin go around the country. I mean, and especially, I mean, my idea when we did this with Kevin was that we would get people like you out, like tens of thousands of you, not just one or twos of you.
Just me. Just old me.
Well, but you know what? Yeah. Every drop in the bucket fills it up. That's what matters. Like, we've met Theo, we've met Tim. There are people actually willing to take action. Like, it was Tim suggested that we go down and talk to the
marinas
and the people on the boats, and to be honest, we're just too timid to walk up to strangers and say, oh, hey, what do you know about
food? hear about that Fukushima thing?
Like, what the fuck? Stay away from us. He's from New York and I'm from California. You think these Oregonians would like that? I don't think so.
Not so much.
They don't like it when an Oregonian does it, when Tim does it. Right. So, like, no.
Rock the boat, rock the
boat. So we just took pictures. So that's what happened with that one. So, but Kevin, this is the thing. Back to New York. Is anybody in New York that you know of? I mean, I'm just dumbfounded that people in New York City are just going, how big of an area does it affect where you live?
Yes.
Where you live.
Let's be realistic. It'll affect everyone in New York. Yeah. And Indian Point definitely will. The other ones are pretty far away. But, I mean, wind blows, you know. The wind blows. These are not controlled reactions.
Right.
It's a worldwide event.
Indian Point is already affecting it. It's what's the radiation level? Why don't you look it up, see what the radiation levels are in Indian Point right now. I know for sure it's at least 65,000.
What? 65,000 what?
Percent higher than above allowable limits. Hmm. That's what they reported in March. 65,000% over the allowable limits. And it, actually, to be honest, it was really shocking. I mean, because tritium, for our listeners who don't understand that, tritium attaches to the water molecules. That's what makes it, and that's why they can't separate it. So once tritium leaks into the, and actually,
or your body.
It's not just New York. I mean, we've had this, remember in when I first started the radio show, I read that article from Business Insider. And they, University of Illinois, I believe it was, the University of Illinois had studied a lot of the central states, like where the First Nation is, where all the Navajo nations are in the heart of the country. And that's where all the uranium mining is, right? So what they identified was that there's high levels of tritium and high levels of nitrates. And it said 6 million people are drinking high levels. And actually, New York City was one of the highlighted cities.
I can testify that New York City has glowing white tap water. And I've had to drink it.
What?
Yeah, one time in New York City, I was at a concert and they ran out of bottled water. So the tap water that was the only tap water available was not only hot, but glowing white with white powder in it.
At the concert?
Yeah, this is at the basement of Madison Square Garden, actually. Madison Square Theater.
Tap water that was glowing?
Yes, there was white powder in their tap water. That's New York City.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow.
You don't have a choice either, because you're either stuck in the concert or you gotta go.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good time.
So you have been exposed quite a bit.
Yeah, well, the entire aquifer of Long Island was tainted by the Department of Energy when they released nuclear waste via the experimental reactors at Brookhaven Lab into the aquifers.
What year was that?
They did it for decades, I think.
In the 50s, 40s, and 50s.
I think it was a little later. I think it might have been the 60s or 70s, possibly the 80s.
The Brookhaven Labs.
Yeah, and the exposure was going on through the 2000s. People were still dying. Major cancer clusters out east in Long Island.
Wow.
Yes, very terrible. Disgusting. Crimes. It's utter crimes against humanity, really.
It's genocide.
In your own public backyard, really. How could you violate the aquifer?
Well, this is the interesting thing about ignoring Fukushima, because they've had this kind of attitude of pollution doesn't really matter, the ocean's big enough. But I don't believe, I think that Dana Durnford is 100% correct that Fukushima, like, pushed us off the cliff of toxicity. Like, it was bad enough before, but they can't keep up with what's going on in Fukushima.
Yeah, well, the one thing he does illustrate really good is that, like, once you have the radiation inside the glass of water, like, if you take a sea of a glass and you fill it up with seawater and you get radiation in there, you're just going to see the entire chain of life die off. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, that is what's happening. I saw a video, Carol Weeping Willow 2 posted a video. She follows the Alaska fisheries. She saw a fish, a big bear, kind of a thinner bear, eating a salmon. But it had white tips on its ears, like it was genetically affected. You know how they have those horses in Japan with white spots all over it?
You're saying the bear was affected?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly what the bear looked like, the white spots.
I've seen the bear, the videos of the bears having instantaneous heart attacks while, like, walking.
You have?
Oh, yeah, there's videos on YouTube of like after Fukushima, just bears in like Alaska or stuff, just walking up the mountain, just having a heart attack and croaking.
Oh.
Yeah, really bad.
Wow.
So, yes.
Well, this is the thing. I do not comprehend how they think that this is not going to affect us and how people can just continue to ignore it. And yet we're going to have the Olympics. I mean, we're having the Olympics at Fukushima, year six years afterwards, and we're pretending as if it... And Japan actually just this last week strengthened its secrecy laws.
What else are they going to do?
They're going to tell their people the truth.
They're not.
That we have medical emergencies and we need to figure out how to protect everybody as much as possible. And people need to stay indoors. Don't go outdoors. Don't let your kids play in those radiated areas.
That was the thing. They should have evacuated Tokyo in the early days, they said. And that was like one of the things they're now regretting, I think, is not evacuating Tokyo.
Well, wasn't it the Hirohito, the emperor? Isn't it ironic? I think he's got cancer, right?
The family down there.
Yeah. I mean, they're not talking about it. I mean, it's what's really sad about it, though, is that they're willing to give up. The nuclear industry literally is willing to kill the entire planet and just deny that they're doing it.
Yeah, the island of Japan just went down really quickly in the past few decades.
Wow.
We bombed them, and then we took over them, and now we China syndrome them.
Well, you know, this is the thing. They China syndrome themselves. Like, literally, they all sat down and said, okay, we'll do whatever you tell us, IAEA. They should have just said, screw you. We're going to do what we need to do to protect our people.
They did, and we bombed them, unfortunately. We started this whole nuclear disaster.
You know my opinion about that. Like, I actually do believe that, and I don't mean to offend anybody here, but I actually do believe we're going to see a nuclear weapon before the end of this year. Because I think with the elections, we're not complying. We're not giving them what they want. That's why we hear all these rumblings about North Korea says they're going to do a preemptive attack. I think North Korea is an arm of the CIA. But you know me. I have my own ideas about how this government runs.
I just sincerely hope there's no nuclear wars or more
accidents. I think they're going to drop a bomb on New York. I think they're going to, like, decimate New York. I think that's what they're going to do.
They already did. It's already happened.
Yeah, I mean,
and they're
like,
paying for it. You know, they don't need to. They're already looting it for it. You know what I mean? Like, why do they need to drop a bomb if they're going to pay to have...
That's true. And they can just have all the money. They don't need to kill all those people.
$7.6 billion. Yeah.
That's true. I don't know. What a pathetic state of the world.
Yeah, that actually... We're really just slaves, apparently.
Well, I refuse that paradigm, you know, and that's why I say happiness is resistance, because I think they want us to feel oppressed. That's one of the things about your generation. Like, they refuse to get involved in this.
Mm-hmm. They refuse.
Because they think it's what do people say when you talk to them about it?
Oh, you can't do anything. Nothing's going to happen.
And that it doesn't matter. You might as well do what you can to make yourself happy.
Yeah.
And that no matter what, they're not going to stop.
Yeah, I think that's what George Washington did, right? He just, like, was like, these royal guys, they know what they're doing, huh? These royal guys, they know what they're doing.
Well, I don't think George Washington did that.
No, he didn't. He did the exact opposite.
No, George Washington said, we've got to figure out this on our own. But this is the issue here. We're not talking about the same kind of weapons. We're not talking about the same... I mean, we really do have a secret government. I mean, it's kind of like that... I read this morning that they put up, they found a guy climbing up the embassy of the Ecuadorian embassy right outside of Julian Assange's window. The security saw him, but he ran away and they couldn't catch him. So what does that mean? There's like these secret, like the murder. I mean, Seth Rich was murdered the day before the Democratic convention.
Mm-hmm.
The nuclear industry has absolutely no regard for human life. Look what they're doing to the people. People in St. Louis are literally living less than 1 mile away from a nuclear burning dump site. The EPA says they can't create a wall between the the burning waste and the nuclear contamination because they haven't found a site where it isn't mixed. They haven't found a clear... But they're not saying it's on fire. They're just saying that the nuclear is mixed with the contamination. So let's say the fire's over here. They're implying that the wall, they're testing over here, but the fire's here and they're trying to build a wall in between the fire and the... What they're essentially saying is that the nuclear shit's on fire. It's on fire in St. Louis.
Yes.
They have a smoldering nuclear dump site that they're not building a sarcophagus around because they're afraid it's going to blow up because it's mixed with all these chemicals.
And all the locals are being exposed.
All of them.
Oh, wow.
At a far greater risk than they even imagine. Like, I speak to these young people, and I don't think they even comprehend the severity of the situation.
No, it's not taught in school. And if it's taught in school, it's very much played down.
Yeah, yeah. So, wow, Kevin. Well, I want to thank you for joining me here on UCY.TV Radio. This is a pre-recorded interview. We're doing this on Tuesday morning because Kevin has to work. He works slave labor hours, like 3:30 to 2 or something like that. 3:30 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he works.
2 in the morning hours kind of deal.
But when we went out to the...
the coast.
Yes.
Not the beach, the coast, guys.
Definitely the
not
coast.
The beach.
Now we know why it's
not
called the
beach,
coast.
Man.
Yeah, not the beach. But it's still beautiful.
Oh my God, it's so grand.
It was really great.
So grand.
It's so beautiful.
And that's why we're fighting, is because they've destroyed the most beautiful thing.
Right. Even New York, like, we should not give up on New York. Like,
no.
I mean, if we can get them to shut these nuclear power plants down.
We did get them to shut it down. We just got robbed. We got looted.
Well, what happened is they let us shut it down. They give you, like, a half of a carrot. It's kind of like what's going on in San Onofre, right?
Okay,
we close it down, but it's too radioactive. The Navy can't take it back.
So let's just turn it on again.
Well, what they're doing is they're trying to demand that Southern California Edison clean it up before they take it back. And Southern California Edison is, it's all this legal wrangling about the liability and the money. It's
the
money.
Land.
It's money. They don't want to spend the money to fix what they've done.
They can't fix it.
Well, they could fix some of it. There is ways, as we've seen in St. Louis, there is ways to remediate. I mean, like in Apollo, Pennsylvania, where Patty Amino's place was, they did remediate it. It's a small town of 1,800. Though a lot of those people that were sick are highly, highly sick. That's why they won the $37 million. I think they won $37 million for their medical expenses. And I think that fund is actually probably not enough for the survivors. It's really a shock, but it's probably not enough for the survivors. But there's people there that are able to repopulate, and the radiation levels are no higher than anywhere else in Pennsylvania. It's not like it was. So we do have experience remediating.
Interesting. But we also don't have experience dealing with an ongoing leaks that were bombarding us every day.
No, but you know what? The phytoremediation, like Scotty's contracting, it was pretty exciting. They have a proprietary thing that they're developing and patenting where they take the... canif or hemp or other type of plants that attract with electromagnetic, and they push the radiation towards this greenhouse where they're growing the plants. The plants suck up all the radiation. They put it into another container to compost.
Mm-hmm.
They pour some of these microbes in this special thing that they figured out, and it forces the radiation out, and it generates electricity to the homeowners.
Well, you know what? That's good.
I mean, that is like...
as good as it's going to get.
It's better than just living on the land where, you know, you have... Yes, and it falls down in the air and everything, but at least they're able to remediate the soil and get their land back. And they plan on doing this before the... Because the EPA wants to take a really long time.
That's such a bonus. That's not going to people's body. It's being put in energy. Wow.
Yeah.
That's astounding.
Yeah, so this is all, it's all like going through these, the EPA is making them jump through hoops to get through these phases, but it's all, every piece of this has been tried out separately, so they've developed a program, him and this other scientist have developed a program to make it work, and so they're starting their pilot program. So for me,
it's good.
Better than a poke in the eye, man.
I agree.
I mean, the thing is with New York...
No one really cares.
Yeah, New York's kind of toast, isn't it?
I don't know what to say. I mean, everyone knows who I was when I grew up there, and they all knew how I felt, so you got to do what you got to do.
And you changed your life when you were 21.
Yeah, I really really just went into it. As soon as I found out that these criminals had started an event at Fukushima that we had no answers for, and we are never going to solve, because... these zirconium fires, these China syndromes, these nuclear reactor cores that have gone without power now tunneling through the earth. What are we going to do about that, Lonnie? What are we going to do?
So really, you know what? enjoy your life.
That's what everyone keeps telling me.
Really, when it really gets down to it, I mean, what we can do is push for the people that have the power to stop and to do something about it. And then in the meantime, like, just refuse to participate with their programming of trying to make us miserable. I mean, I don't have the answers, because I don't think humanity's ever, we've never seen anything like this in recorded history. This is the first time we've ever come upon, and it's kind of like this whole thing, you know how they call climate change, there is no climate change? I think the whole term climate change is an acronym for nuclear pollution.
Well, we both know that what they're doing is boiling the water of the earth constantly. They're just boiling, so you're really going to run out of water if you keep boiling.
That's well, you know, there's microorganisms at the bottom of the ocean that actually thrive on nuclear radiation. I mean, that's one of the things I learned in my oceanography class. They have pictures now. They send them down there. And we have, like, these bubbling up from the earth at these little spigots. But there's very high levels of radiation, because that's where it escapes from the bottom of the earth, right?
It's a very slippery slope you're going to go down, because what people are saying, what I've heard now, is that the earth started as, like, this incredibly radioactive thing.
Yeah.
And that pretty much what the beginning of earth, the earth might have been is, like, a reactor such as Fukushima just coming out of control.
Well, I don't know.
It's like a circle of life.
Well, I don't know if it started as a... I mean, I think we actually had the last great extinction, like, 247 million years ago.
Yeah.
Probably did have a civilization that created a nuclear meltdown. I would not doubt that at all.
I think it's...
Because it's highly probable we're discovering all kinds of buried things at the Antarctic that don't make sense. We have pictures of maps that there's no reason we should have them. I mean, it's very interesting, the lost history of our planet. Which, for me, I find that sort of... I don't know, hopeful. I don't know. I hate to use that word hope, but I mean, it gives me kind of a perspective on history. Like, if we have only 1,000 humans left on the planet, or 1,500 humans left on the entire planet, that's enough to repopulate the planet with humans. 500, 1,000, 300. I mean, all we really need is two, I suppose. Two that like each other. They can have babies. You know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness.
But, I mean, the problem with two is you start having, again, genetic mutations because of family relations. So you need, like, a small population of about 1,000, right?
Something to diversify the gene pool.
Something.
So, you know, start crossing.
I mean, this is how, when you imagine what we're thinking about here. The human population can get down to just a few thousand people. Imagine what that does to the rest of the species on the planet. Like, I mean... When we think about it, that all of our food is about to be radiated, like, right now we're still able to eat vegetables, we're still able to eat a lot of food that's, like, our generation, our children's generation, and probably their children's generation will be able to, like, maybe get by, but from everything that I've seen, three generations from now, people are just not going to be able to reproduce, even if they're living.
That's drastic.
Well.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
It seems like you...
Not to scare you that you're this
no, I understand.
Little tiny youth, but I mean, think about it. Like, because your life, you're still able to live your life, and we don't know, frankly, after the next few years, what's going to happen because of Fukushima.
Yeah, I've heard terrible things from insiders that people are just going to start croaking. But
well, people are starting to croak.
They've already started croaking.
I mean, we've seen it. We're seeing it. We're seeing the mass... Go to the mass animal deaths right now. You know, go online. You can look at mass animal deaths.
Oh, gosh.
And then, you know, read that. How many whales... We're pretty close to whales in terms of, you know...
Proximity?
Well, I mean, in terms of intellect...
Okay.
Ability...
Mammal.
Communication. Yeah, like in terms of being animals. We're closer... to the porpoises and the whales and those types of animals. And look at how they're just washing up in droves. But you know what's happening here? People are washing up in droves in our own hospitals, and we're not even keeping track. Like, I know here in Eugene, Oregon, they don't keep track of oncology rates. They don't keep track of oncology rates. They don't keep track of who dies.
That's what's going to happen when you grow older anyway.
Well, they don't keep track. They don't keep track of who dies from cancer.
Well, the statistics came out recently. That's pretty much half the people are going to get cancer anyway. That's the statistics. Either woman or man, they'll change any day. I swear, I've seen it. Women get it half the time. Men get it half the time. It's just like, dude.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I actually think that, you know, this is why I wanted to have you on, to kind of get your perspective and to hear about New York, because I can't believe that people in New York are just willing to just blank out over the fact that they are drinking. Like, the Natural Resource Defense Fund, they're right in New York, and they take money from Exelon, from the nuclear industry. I mean, that's my accusation to them. Let me put it to you that way. I have no idea who gave them the $11 million contribution, or the $5 million, or the $6 million, or the another $5 million, or the $3.5
million.
Those are the big contributions they disclosed on their 13 tax return. Well, they did not have their 14 tax return posted illegally. So that'll tell you who this organization is. I have no respect for them. Zero. Because they are working for the nuclear industry. Their idea is that we need to close down coal machines, coal plants, and coal mining before we close down nuclear radiation.
That's the standpoint of the Green Party these days. Coal. Coal is the real problem, I heard.
No, the Green Party is very anti-nuclear. In fact, the Green Party is the only anti-nuclear.
Really?
Yeah, they're the only organization that says we need to get off of nuclear entirely and stop all nuclear.
I've never heard them say such things.
Oh, it is. It's right on there. Go right to Jill Stein's thing. She talks about it. But it's not, you know, whatever. Do you think they'll ever get elected? Never. They'll get murdered first. I mean, that's what we've seen in this election. We don't have elections. You guys can vote for the right person, the United Soviet States of America, right? Vote for the right person. If you don't vote for the right person, your vote doesn't count.
Does your vote count? I don't even see a choice anymore. I don't even see a choice. Was there a choice in this one?
Yeah, was there a choice? Two sides of the same fascist coin? I don't know.
I don't think there was a choice this way around.
No. That's pretty evident. There is no choice. So, but that doesn't mean we can't decide that their paradigm does not have to be our paradigm, Kevin.
Oh, it definitely isn't.
I mean, we can choose to make it a different paradigm. You know, I mean, I don't know. I have people calling into this radio show telling me that I'm completely like unrealistic, that our votes don't even matter, that it's never mattered, that I'm just now becoming enlightened, that really it never mattered that you voted, that they were going to do what they were going to do anyways.
You know what? I haven't been alive long enough to really make that decision or judgment.
Well,
I don't have any previous
knowledge. I would say I haven't really been that aware long enough to really figure that one out. But intuitively, I'm beginning to believe they're right, because it's only one party. It's the United Soviet States of America. We have Republicrats,
yeah,
one way or the other. So look, we're coming up on our last minute for the radio show. Thank you, Kevin, for joining us. I really appreciate this.
Thank you so much for having me out here.
Yeah, and if any breaking news comes and you ever want to get on the radio show, let me know about this, because you kind of have the insider scoop on New
York. Yeah, I stay up to date.
Yeah. Well, look, thanks a lot, and we'll talk with you soon. Put your courage feet on, you guys, and join us on Call In Friday.
Call In Fridays?
Yes, Call In Fridays. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is awesome.